This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great nation where faith has been part of our politics in recent years. And certainly within the Republican Party in particular, faith has been an important component of mobilizing voters on behalf of Republican candidates. Will that continue? Should it continue? And what about the historical perspective? One of the things that I find a great relief and actually a joy is in the midst of this campaign, when there are so many disappointments with so many of the different political figures, to go back and to read about our greatest president, Abraham Lincoln. There is a new book about the way that faith shaped Abraham Lincoln's politics, but it did it in a personal and private way, much more than people would do in the 21st century. There's a new book called Lincoln's God: How Faith Transformed a President and a Nation. The author is Dr. Joshua Zeitz, who has taught history at Harvard, Princeton, and the University of Cambridge in Great Britain, a very distinguished background. He's the author of a previous book about Lincoln, about the two young men who actually lived in the White House and served Lincoln as his primary aides, John Nicolay and John Hay. And the new book just released indicates that Abraham Lincoln actually changed, and changed very directly during his presidency in terms of his religious outlook. First of all, Dr. Zeitz, I appreciate very much your coming on the show.
Oh, thank you for the invitation. I'm pleased to be here.
Well, okay, first of all, what the change you describe was not a change in the way that Lincoln expressed himself so much, as it was deeply personal and related to personal loss and personal struggles. Explain.
Well, prior to the Civil War, Lincoln was at very best a non-believer, and this was somewhat widely known in central Illinois, where he had settled and really built his career. And it created some problems for him in his first several runs to the state legislature and his one successful run for Congress in 1846. As late as 1858, we know that the local Presbyterian minister in Springfield tried to convert him and apparently couldn't do it, according to a friend. Something starts to shift around 1862, and I think part of it is the death of the Lincoln's son, Willie, who died at about age 10 of typhoid while they were living in the White House. And then that, alongside Lincoln's increased emotional and psychological burden that he had to bear, overseeing this war, presiding over this carnival of death and violence that would ultimately take 750,000 lives, it led him to reassess his sense of spirituality. And according to his wife, although she said that after his death he never was a quote-unquote technical Christian, he became some sort of Christian when he was in the White House, and he begins grappling both privately and publicly with what trying to understand and wrestle with the understanding of what it is that he thinks God wants of him and of the nation in the middle of this war. So there's definitely a profound shift that occurs early in his tenure in the White House.
Well, I know that when he took that tour, when he's riding the train from Springfield to Washington to first take over the presidency, he already described himself, and apparently, at least according to some people who knew him, saw himself as an instrument of divine will. No?
This is something that he begun. It first emerges around that time, although it's hard to say during that 1860-1861 interregnum whether he means it or whether it's a rhetorical device, but he certainly, by the middle of the war, comes to believe that he's a divine instrument, that he's God's instrument. What sets him apart from the majority of church leaders, both lay and clergy is that his God is a very distant and unknowable God. So while he believes he's God's instrument and he comes to believe that the war is a divine retribution on the whole nation, North and South, for the sin of slavery, which the North had been complicit in as well as the South, he's never quite sure what the outcome is supposed to be, and he's never quite sure how his role is supposed to play out. So he does see himself as an instrument of God, but he's never quite as sure as most Christian leaders were that the Union was on God's side and God was on the Union's side. And he grappled with this both in public speeches like the Second Inaugural Address and in private meditations, including a document he wrote in 1862 for himself called Meditations on the Divine Will, in which he's wrestling with what it is that God wants of him and of the nation, and what God wants the outcome of the war to be. But that was never meant to be a document for public consumption. His secretaries, Nicolai and Hay, found it years after he died. And that tells us that he had in some fashion, come to faith, because he wouldn't be wrestling with these questions privately on paper unless it was something that was heartfelt and not just something that you were doing to court the religious vote, although he did that as well.
When you look at the country in 1861, at the time that the war began and the Lincoln presidency began, what a lot of people don't recognize is today we think of the South as being different from the rest of the country in terms of its religious faith. The main differences in religious faith between the South and the North were not so much theological as they were political, and in terms of the way that they applied the Bible and biblical doctrine and text to the issue of slavery.
That's exactly right. I mean, it's important to remember, it's one of the reasons I wrote the book, is that America in the first half of the 19th century underwent a remarkable religious revival, the Second Great Awakening, that saw the growth and emergence of churches like the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, Disciples of Christ, and the growth of longer-standing churches in North America like the Presbyterian Church. And the vast majority of Americans by the eve of the Civil War were quite religious, and most of them were Protestants, and within that section, you know, most were evangelical Protestants, which is not to discount the rising influence of Catholics and Jews and non-conforming Christian denominations. But, you know, it was a largely evangelical nation at the time, and the churches, the major churches, the Baptist, Presbyterian, and Methodist churches actually split along regional lines in the 1840s, North and South. They literally split up. But to your point, that was less about theology, and it was more about the question of slavery. And each side could point to different biblical references to either defend slavery or to point to its sinfulness. But both North and South were profoundly religious. And during the war, ordinary soldiers on both sides, the Union and Confederacy, participated in these massive tent revivals at the Union and Confederate soldiers' camps. So the war was profoundly felt in a religious sense, and I think one of the things I try to do in the book is look at how religion formed the framework through which ordinary people, as well as, you know, elite people like Abraham Lincoln, grappled with understanding what the war was about and what their role in it was supposed to be.
Yeah, he never participated in a tent or revival meeting that were common at the time. But then again, his second inaugural address, Frederick Douglass described it as one of the greatest sermons he had ever heard. And it was full of biblical references. The book is fascinating, and it's sensitive. And like any honest book about Lincoln, it's inspiring and should give us more hope and faith for our political leaders of the future. The book, again, is called Lincoln's God. The subtitle is How Faith Transformed a President and a Nation. The author, Dr. Joshua Zeitz, appreciate your joining us on the show. How does this apply to the election of 2024? We'll get to it.
Are you always tired with low energy? Do you suffer from indigestion issues and can't eat food you enjoy? Try Balance 7. It's a product with all natural ingredients to help fix these health problems. Click on the Balance 7 banner at michaelmedved.com. Use the code MEDVED to get $15 off your order. Free shipping plus a bottle of My Smooth Skin. Money back guarantee.
1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show. We'll be right back.
If you're troubled by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision-making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. Get off the sidelines. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org. Are you feeling old or tired? This is your immune system telling you your body has too much acid. Is your stomach upset? Acid indigestion? You can't eat the foods you really like? Well, Balance 7 will change all of that by diluting the acid buildup in your body. Go to our website, michaelmedved.com, and click on the banner for Balance 7. Use the code MEDVED and get $15 off your order. Call 800-793-9039. Free shipping plus a free bottle of My Smooth Skin and a money-back guarantee.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Hey y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires. Which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are, you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Michael Medved Show, it is a little bit of a concern, isn't it, that it's Memorial Day weekend coming up and House lawmakers are supposed to leave town today or some of them tomorrow. That's just hours, literally, before the U.S. could face an unprecedented default. And the impact of the default with a whole series of interviews with various economic experts of the left and the right and the center, that it was done by the Washington Post, and good for them, really indicates just how terrible this default could be for the country and for individual Americans, particularly for those Americans who are very elderly, people over the age of 88, who get precedence in their Social Security payments. But the idea that Social Security payments for some 60 million Americans are going to be held up and they're going to take a couple of days off rather than actually get this thing done. And I guess the excuse would be that that for the average House member who isn't participating in these negotiations, obviously I think we're going to have Kevin McCarthy continuing to be involved in the negotiations, and Congressman Graves, who is his associate on the Republican side, and then the various White House aides who have been assigned to this, and President Biden, because the idea that the debt ceiling is irrelevant or that it is a false fear is simply wrong. Look at what has happened to your own investments, if you have some, and most Americans do. About half of Americans do. They have some kind of share in the stock market. And so the harm to the economy in general can really hurt. And in fact, it's painful enough so that one member of Congress, Representative Sidney Comlager Dove, who is a representative from California, actually found a way to link the debt ceiling crisis and the sad passing of Tina Turner yesterday at age of 83. She spoke about it on the House floor. This is clip 13.
Tina Turner loved and owned her own story. She unveiled the trauma of domestic violence and turned it into a strength felt by women across the world. She was a true ambassador of the Buddhist practice, showed female artists how to take ownership of their brand, and she used music to speak and captivate us. She was a constituent of the 37th, having lived in View Park, the heart of my district. Her passing is a true loss to the global community. In this moment, she would probably say to Republicans, "Don't hide this weekend. Stay and do your job. The American people deserve more from you. They work hard and don't deserve to be blamed, lied to, and defaulted on by a dysfunctional Republican Party who can't get its act together. Lead. Don't bleed the American people." No, wait. I said that.
Gentlewoman,
I yield back.
Okay. I'm sure that that would be the first thing that Tina Turner is thinking of, is lead, don't bleed the American people. And then there was this from the leader of the Democrats in the House, Hakeem Jeffries, spoke about a fake, false, fraudulent narrative. But he wasn't talking about the narrative that says that the debt ceiling is a potential crisis, that default is a potential crisis. He was talking about who you blame and how you describe that process of blame. This is clip 10.
And these Republicans, they're going to say that Joe Biden refused to sit down with them. That's a fake narrative that they've continued to try to put into the public domain. They said that President Biden refused to talk for 97 days. Fake, false, fraudulent narrative.
That's not true. And that is simply not true. It is an accurate narrative because what President Biden said is there is nothing to negotiate. He had taken the position there is nothing to negotiate, that he would accept only a so-called clean rise in the debt ceiling, that he wouldn't talk about anything else involving spending or the budget or the long-term plans for the budget or a budget cap or anything else like that until literally 2 weeks ago. He began to open himself up to at least some conversation, and he's still been very stubborn about giving an inch or even a half an inch to the Republicans who have actually done their job and passed a rise in the debt ceiling, which was a difficult vote for some Republican members, a rise in the debt ceiling with certain conditions about future spending that was passed by the House, and it was passed by a vote of 217-215. Very close vote, but Kevin McCarthy got it done. And so what happens if they can't get this deal done? Karine Jean-Pierre was saying today, the White House press spokesman at her daily press briefing, was saying, well, it wasn't encouraging to hear. Listen, it's clip 11.
Or is there a viable plan B?
So what I can say is this is the only option that we have is for Congress to do its job, for Congress to deal with the debt limit. That's the only option in front of us. That is the best option for the American people. That's the best way to make sure that our economy doesn't get turned on its head, that we don't get a situation where we potentially lose up to 8 million jobs or devastate retirement accounts. That is not an option. So we're being consistent here. We've been saying that they need to do their job. It is their constitutional duty. It's been done 78 times since 1960. That's what we're saying. As it relates to the budget negotiation, those are continuing. We want to make sure that gets done.
Okay, one plan B would be to simply raise the debt ceiling temporarily if they need to do that. But again, when you look at the level of a risk that is involved for various people. For instance, they do a portrait in the Washington Post of someone named Nora Jean Stone, who's 74. She says she has enough money socked away to last a month if her $1,153 worth of Social Security payments don't show up next week. She and her son, who is disabled, share a one-bedroom rent-controlled apartment in San Francisco and rely on a combination of Medicaid, Medicare, and food assistance to make ends meet. Being unable to pay the rent, she says, could cost them her home of 36 years. Being poor, you're walking on eggshells, said Stone. There are millions of people like that. There needs to be a plan B. What could it be? We'll get to it on the Medved Show.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Michael Medved.
People know me.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
USA News Update. President Biden says he believes there will be an agreement made to raise the debt ceiling.
I made it clear time and again that falling down on national debt is not an option. The American people deserve to know that the Social Security payments will be there. The Veterans Hospital will remain open.
Speaking from the White House Rose Garden, the president said talks between his administration and Speaker Kevin McCarthy's team have made progress. Congress is scheduled to begin its Memorial Day recess today as negotiations continue on the debt limit. Lawmakers are being advised to stay close to the Capitol throughout the holiday weekend in case they're called in for a vote on the debt ceiling. An international coalition will start training Ukrainian pilots to fly F-16 fighter jets as Russia's war on Ukraine rages on.
Norway, Belgium, Portugal, and Poland have already offered to contribute to training.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. Dave Collins, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Entertain your brain.
It's awesome.
Every day on the Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, there's a woman named Alicia Monelli, who is with the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College. And she is a former assistant treasury secretary. And she says it's going to cause a huge amount of hardship if Social Security checks are delayed at all. When you're living in a cash-strapped situation, she says, timing really makes a lot of difference. People are waiting for their checks to buy groceries, to fill prescriptions. They get to the end of the month, and they're out of cash. You know people like that? I think most of us do. I certainly do. And the idea that for political reasons, that they turn away from even the most obvious expedient, and this is one of those things that have been talked about earlier, which is this debt ceiling is not sacred. They could take a vote and say, okay, we can't reach agreement now. We're going to give ourselves some time to reach agreement. We're going to temporarily raise the debt ceiling to the extent that we need to in order to pay our bills. But then we can have this fight all over again, I don't know, maybe a year before the election, next November. I know they had been talking about just giving themselves a little bit of extra time until September. The point about it is that one of the cases that is made in the New York Times today, and they're right, is that the amount of money, when they're talking about expenditures, everybody agrees, President Trump and President Biden and Governor DeSantis and the entire Republican Party and the entire Democratic Party, nobody wants to reduce Social Security payments right now. Nobody wants to change the retirement age from 65 to 67 right now. In the long term, those kind of changes need to be addressed and need to be fixed, but not in with the air of crisis that we have right now. So if you're taking out Medicaid and Medicare and Social Security and all of the entitlement programs, and you leave aside the defense programs, because, God, if we took a huge hit in our defense spending at a time when we need more defense spending, not less, it would be problematic. We also, and even though this is not primarily a federal program, a federal money has to do with it, law enforcement. Is this really a great time with crime surging everywhere, with the idea that they lost $500 million at Target because of shoplifting? Is this a good time to all of a sudden say, oh, yeah, let's take a little bit of money out of law enforcement? No, it's not. So the discretionary spending that they're talking about, looking at, and trying to reduce is 13%. 13% of what we spend total. 87% is either defense and national security and operating to keep us safe, or it's law enforcement, or it's things that are entitlements where promises have already been made and you've got millions of people sitting there waiting for their checks. Now, the idea that that this is just all a big phony and it would be no big problem at all if we reached a default, and for the first time in history that America didn't pay its debts and our interest rates would go up, and the impact on America's world leadership and the impact on the dollar as being the basis for the world economy, that wouldn't happen, none of that would happen. Who takes that position? Marjorie Taylor Greene. She was on Steve Bannon's podcast from, I think they call it the War Room. And here is what the congresswoman from Georgia had to say. This is clip one.
Well, here's what's happening in our conference. We're not sweating this at all. No one is freaking out. No one is concerned about this mystery date that Janet Yellen has thrown out like it's going to actually crash America. The only people worked up about the mystery date is probably the New York Stock Exchange. I mean, let's be real about exactly what it is. Regular Americans living their lives day in and day out don't worry about the government shutting down.
And the oligarchs that run Wall Street are playing this. They're the ones all over McCarthy and his team. They're the ones on media all the time, and it's all phony.
Okay, the oligarchs on Wall Street have no connection to ordinary Americans at a time when the majority of American households do have 401ks or some kind of retirement accounts. They have some kind of investment and share in the stock market. And then there is this, again from the Washington Post. This is a portrait of someone named Anthony Gray. It says Anthony Gray received his first retirement check this month. He's 62 years old. But given the country's debt ceiling debacle, he fears it could be his last for a while. Gray, who left his computer programming job in 2019 after a skin cancer diagnosis, says he has put his life on hold in case his next $1,388 Social Security payment doesn't arrive as expected in mid-June. He has stopped buying eggs. He's letting newspaper subscriptions lapse and is relying more on $3 subsidized lunches at a local senior center near Albany, New York. Quote, I'm not spending on anything I don't absolutely have to spend on in case a government default means there's no check, the 62-year-old said. I have to assume the worst out of prudence, so maybe I can set aside enough to cover June's bills. But what if this goes on for 2 months or 3 months? Then I don't know. And what about the several trillion dollars in actual wealth? They're talking about $10 trillion of actual worth that could be wiped out by an event like a default, it would be disastrous. There's also laughs on the House floor that occurred during debate over the debt ceiling. The Democrats howled when Marjorie Taylor Greene told the chamber to respect decorum of the House. Listen, this is clip two.
The votes are on the board. I ask that the House be in order and there be some decorum on the other side.
The members are reminded to abide by decorum of the House.
That's Marjorie Taylor Greene basically trying to bring the House in order. The entire inability to put this together, this, by the way, is a huge argument for DeSantis. Because the one thing you've got to say about him is, in terms of working with the Florida legislature, he's been a member of the House. He's been three terms in the House. He was a successful member of the House. At least there might be better order on Capitol Hill, if not entirely nationwide, with a President DeSantis. No? 1-800-955-1776. We'll be right back on The MedVed Show.
This is going to be a little bit provocative.
The Michael MedVed Show. 1-800-955-1776. The Michael MedVed Show.
I had pain in my hands that kept me from work and doing projects around the home. I heard about Relief Factor on the radio and began taking it, and it left me with pain-free hands again. I was able to do the things around the house that I enjoy doing. I'm so glad I found Relief Factor.
This is a dietary supplement. It is totally natural. I wouldn't be without it. I take it every day. It's gotten me through the hard days of winter and pandemic and more, and helps you feel better, whether it's aches and pains or Relief Factor can help. It's made from natural products, including turmeric and fish oil, that is all blended together in a proprietary blend that actually works for people around the world. It's a great product. You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. Go to michaelmedved.com and just click on the banner for Relief Factor. Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for AmFed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and company, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call AmFed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Michael, you have the greatest show on the planet.
The Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, in the more than an hour that Governor DeSantis actually spoke, answering questions from various people, including Congressman Tom Massey, who called in. And there were the congressman from Kentucky, he's a libertarian congressman from Kentucky, though he's a member of the Republican Party. They all spoke very directly about some of the issues in the campaign. And one of the things that DeSantis was able to address was the idea that he was a book banner. And, of course, which is untrue and it's unfair. And DeSantis, and this is long after they had settled their technical difficulties, was addressing that entire book ban hoax, as he called it. And this is what he had to say emphatically during his Twitter announcement of candidacy with, together with, he was there with the Elon Musk and a guy named David Sachs, who was a venture capitalist who had contributed $50,000 to the DeSantis campaign. But here is what Governor DeSantis had to say, clip 5.
Yeah, so the whole book ban thing is a hoax. There's not been a single book banned in the state of Florida. You can go buy or use whatever book you want. What we have done is empowered parents with the ability to review the curriculum, to know what books are being used in school, and then to ensure that those books match state standards and are age and developmentally appropriate. So, for example, parents have flagged books in schools that, for example, teach middle school kids how to use sex apps, that provide graphic depictions of sex acts and sex toys for people as young as fifth grade. And so clearly that is not appropriate to be in a middle school classroom. And so parents object and the schools take them out. I did a press conference that we called Exposing the Book Ban Hoax. And before I had the parents come up, before I spoke, I just played the video that had the images of the books that the parents had objected being in their kids' classroom. And the local news had to cut the feed because they said it was too graphic. Well, if it's too graphic for the 6 o'clock news, how is it okay for a sixth grader or a fifth grader? And so nothing's being banned. They're basically ensuring that we make curation choices that are consistent with state standards.
Okay, look, he's entirely correct, and it's important to go there, particularly right now with the current lie, which he also addressed, and we'll get to it in just a second. A lie that the Amanda Gorman, the 21-year-old poet who has been praised at the presidential inauguration, where she recited her poem, The Hill We Climb. She spoke to the UN General Assembly, but access to her poetry, they reported on NPR, is now restricted at a Miami-Dade County school. The latest casualty in the fight over library books. The complaint filed against Gorman's book, The Hill We Climb, named for the poem she famously recited at President Biden's 2021 inauguration, alleges that the work is not educational and contains indirect hate speech and shouldn't be in schools. Okay, that complaint was from one person who actually believed that the poem had been written by Oprah Winfrey. And it hadn't. It had nothing to do with Oprah Winfrey. And Amanda Gorman looks nothing like Oprah Winfrey. And Ron DeSantis confronted that as part of answering questions in his announcement last night. This is clip four.
The one this week was that Miami-Dade County took a book that was about, like, poems from I think, like, Biden's inauguration, and they moved it from elementary school library to middle school library. The media tried to act like somehow this is being banned, and you actually had Miami-Dade County Public Schools spokesperson have to come out and say there's nothing that's been banned or removed. It was basically just determined that this particular book was better suited for middle school. And so they put it in the middle school media center. And the media tries to act like somehow that is offending something with a book ban. So, but I think part of the reason that they're doing that is because, you know, there is actually a movement to ban books from, like, Amazon and some of these others. California, some municipalities have banned things like To Kill a Mockingbird. What they're trying to do is see if some of these books pass a woke test. And if they don't, they are going against some of those books. Whereas in Florida, you can buy whatever book you want.
Okay, look, they're even reporting on NPR now, correcting the initial story, which made it sound like the book was banned. They were saying that after a review of this issue, because they got this one letter of complaint, the Bob Graham Education Center, a K-8 school in Miami Lakes, decided to retain the book, but only if it's shelved in an area reserved for middle school students. Okay, so this is hardly some kind of a brutal suppression of ideas or of values. And part of this, on some of the struggles that Governor DeSantis has been involved with, he has clearly been shown to be right. When he spoke to the College Board about the advanced placement curriculum for Black Studies, which was, by the way, not eliminated, it wasn't banned. What they wanted was a curriculum that was more fair, that had in it more of a balance, less of an ideological, propagandistic slant to it, that didn't emphasize Black Lives Matter points of view or African nationalist points of view as much as it actually covered the history of great leaders like Frederick Douglass and Booker T. Washington and, yes, W.E.B. Du Bois and Martin Luther King. The idea that it was being suppressed is simply not true. What all of this creates is some of the challenges that, because he's been an activist governor who has accomplished a lot, and a lot that conservatives admire, it is important for Governor DeSantis to be able to get this information out. The email came in from Christian, and he says 2 points. Number one, I think something that would really help Ron DeSantis' campaign would be a willingness to reach out to the other side and not just appeal to Republicans, conservatives. Number two, it seems to me a major reason there's a big pushback against transgenderism and the LGBTQ plus community, along with pushing sex and sexuality into prepubescent kids, is that so many of them became narcissistic jerks about their identity. They no longer just want to be tolerated and accepted. They want to always be the center of attention with not rights so much, but special privileges. And he puts in, much like Trump, ironically. Boy, is that an excellent point. And it's brilliantly stated, too. Christian, thank you for the note. There is also this from the governor of New Hampshire, Chris Sununu, who is thinking of jumping into the presidential race. And he said this about Donald Trump's message.
So we're still talking about the orange-haired elephant in the room.
Yes,
that's where we're going.
Who you would vote
for.
You
said that he can't win.
I don't think he's going to get the nomination.
Right.
Look, if Trump were to make the ballot, first off, he can't win in November. That's for darn sure. And I tell every Republican who is even on the side, if you can't govern if you don't win. So it's got to be someone other than Trump, because mathematically, he there's no way. He wouldn't win Georgia. That's a fact. If you're a Republican and can't win Georgia, we got to move on. And this is the worst part about the former president. He drags everyone else down.
Yeah.
Right? I lost three or four governorships because that guy was on the ballot and supported really bad candidates. I think Republicans should have 54 U.S. senators. He cost us at least four or five of them. So it affects everyone. And you know what it affects? The school board. The planning board, where real things matter at a local level. Everyone has this brand. Look, I think Republicans have an awesome product. We're just really bad at selling it.
Okay, and how do Republicans get better at selling it? We will talk about that. We'll also talk about Bjorn Lomborg, who has been such a sane and balancing and important voice on the issue of climate change. Now speaking about another very different issue, the issue is vaccines and the importance of vaccines, negative and positive, for our future, for this greatest nation on God's green earth.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master plan destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's KaanapaliResort.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.